This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And it's so good to have you back with us again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science. A little nanotechnology here and there, open innovation, that sort of thing. We've got the business of science going to be the first thing on the agenda with today's program. We have Andrea Marsh with Battelle, and she is telling us about the very exciting business panel that she's organized for the International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies, going to go on in Boston May 10 through the 12th. And it's going to be the very first day of the conference, the opening session. You can attend one day and learn how to do business with the government. It's going to be lots of fun, and Andrea's going to tell us all about it. And then we're going to have a father and daughter combination. Pete Forster is the Associate Dean of the College of Information Sciences and Technology at Penn State University, and his daughter works with him there on security and risk analysis in the College of Information Sciences and Technology at Penn State, and they're going to talk about prostitution. Yes, I know, that's a social issue, and we had to struggle quite a bit to get it over to be a science issue, but the subject of their paper that they're presenting at the conference is going to be characterizing sex trafficking in Pennsylvania for law enforcement. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set, and, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're going to go to the phones and talk to an old friend, Andrea Marsh. She's with Battelle. She's the business development manager, and she's focusing on homeland security and a lot of other neat stuff that she's about the doing of, and so we're glad to have her with us this morning. Welcome to the program again, Andrea.
I am thrilled to be here.
Now, you've always been instrumental in organizing and producing the International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies that IEEE puts on every year. This, I think, is the 15th year. I'm going to be at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. Anyone who needs to know anything more about that can see it at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, there's a link, and it will tell you all about the program. So I understand that a business panel is back this time. Can you give us some information on this?
Yes, I can. You're thrilled. So I've been involved with the conference, as you said, for many years. I think I've been involved with it now for at least 10 years, and several where I was leading the business program for the IEEE conference. It has faded away a little bit in the last few years, but we're trying to revive some interest. Colonel, as I believe you know, one of the issues that's near and dear to my heart in this whole arena is not just the technologies and the science that get developed to help keep our nation secure, but it's also the business of technology, because technologies can be developed, but if there's no business plan and business model to get those technologies in the hands of the end users, unfortunately, it's science for science sake. And so we really want to try and make the members of and participants of the conference aware of what needs to get done to make a good business case and do business with the government, and in particular the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, you and I certainly see eye to eye on that. In fact, is the crux of this particular program is the business of emerging technology. I remember as a kid, I often tell people, the biggest lie I ever heard, I heard real young. And I didn't realize it was a lie at the time, but I found out later on that it is. And the lie was, build a better mousetrap, and the world will beat a path to your door. And it's such a big lie because there's so many better mousetraps being built all the time through all different, you know, disciplines in science. But if it's not brought to the attention of the public, of the people that are going to be able to use these things, it's just wasted. It's for naught. And this is a capitalistic country, whether we like it or not. It's a capitalistic country, and things get supported because they're useful and can get funded. And so I don't know why people that are so involved, I call them pointy heads, lock themselves in their little vestibules and study their science and give no thought as to how it's going to be marketed.
Well, I think, you know, everyone has the areas that they feel most comfortable working in, and I certainly appreciate that, and I appreciate that scientists and engineers are devoted to their projects and making those technologies the best that they can be. I just think it's also important to continually remind them that, you know, making it the best that it can be involves making sure that it ultimately gets used. And I think that there's a lot to it these days, whether it's working with venture capitalists and angel investors to help get your funding off the ground, whether it's responding to Small Business Innovative Research Program grants or RFPs or BAAs that are officially posted by the government. It's important to know how to, you know, develop your technology using end users, using the business community, making sure that you're developing a technology that is both usable, affordable, and marketed broadly so that it actually helps keep us all safe.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Usable, affordable, and marketable, and that's the whole thing. If it's too expensive, if it doesn't bring an ROI, a return on investment, then there's all these different reasons why the different technologies get killed. But I think it's really to your feather in your cap that these many years that you've been working with IEEE and the Homeland Security Technology Conference that you haven't ignored the fact that this stuff has got to be commercially marketable, or it just plain is not going to get used.
Exactly, and that's the point. And so, although in the last couple of years there has been more of a focus on the technology and less of a focus on the business, we did certainly want this year to ensure that there was at least some emphasis put on the business of technology development, particularly in the Homeland Security marketplace. So what we're offering this year, and we think it should be a pretty interesting model and we hope an attractive one to potential participants and attendees, is that on the very first day of the conference on Tuesday, May 10th, we're going to host a special session called Doing Business with the Government and DHS. This could be for small businesses, large businesses, small startups, anything like that. Somebody who wants to come and learn a little bit more about the ins and outs of doing business, how, whether it's through partnerships, through, as I mentioned, venture capital programs, through the government's various funding initiatives, or challenges that they're putting out, and talk to some of us who have been doing this for a long time and have a good discussion and information parting of ways in which we can all help move, you know, that technology forward. What's also nice about this is that we're having this on the first day of the conference. So if people aren't, if some of the business developers and some of the people interested more really in those business and opportunity aspects of the technology development can attend just that one day instead of the whole conference. And in addition to attending for a discounted rate, in addition to attending just that one business session, they can also listen to the day's plenary speakers, which will take place after the business development section. And those will include high-level officials from the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate, the Customs and Border Protection Office of Technology, Innovation and Acquisition, somebody from the Boston Police Department, as well as somebody from the U.S. Small Business Administration. So I think that those are all, you know, in addition to the focus of the earlier one-day special session on the business aspects, they'll also be able to hear directly from some of the people within the Department of Homeland Security and in that arena who they may really want to speak with more about or learn more about, and that'll help them give market assessment and business case to some of the technologies that they may be thinking about funding or promoting.
Well, this is going to be so useful. I've heard so many complaints that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security doesn't spend any money, and that the only thing they ever did useful was the scanning devices at the airports that undress us and check us out to see that we're not carrying any explosive or weapons. So
I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. I think that there are some people who think that. I think initially when DHS was stood up, and there was certainly a lot of money in the early days of the department, thought it was going to be sort of another Department of Defense type organization, huge cash cow. That's not panned out to be the case. But there still are, you know, budgets supporting technology development and acquisition. They desperately need latest and greatest innovative technologies that help them do their job, you know, better, faster, and less expensively. And they're really looking for innovative ways of doing acquiring innovative technologies. And so while they may not have the deep pockets like the Department of Defense has, to say that they don't have or never spend money, the people saying that simply aren't looking at what's being spent and how it's being spent.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that we want to be sure and remember, that a major sponsor of this particular conference every year is the Massachusetts Port Authority, MassPort. And they buy all kinds of different things, from surveillance cameras to all sorts of protection things, both working with the harbor defense and, of course, with Logan Airport and a number of other places. And these people are always seriously involved with the Homeland Security Technology Conference, and they spend a ton of money all the time in keeping Boston safe. So that's another good point. Some of the people that are going to be presenting then at this panel on the very first day, that sounds sensational. Do you are you able to give us any names yet, or are you still keeping that kind of under your hat?
Well, some of that is still under development. I will be on the panel, and I know we are going to be having somebody from Raytheon, who, in addition to being a large system developer themselves, works very closely, often with small business partners. And so we're going to have somebody from Raytheon talking about those small business partnerships that they work with. And we are currently finalizing a couple of other names, including one we hope from the Department of Homeland Security itself. And so we hope to announce those all within and promote those all within the next week or so.
So we know we got Patel, and we have Raytheon, and we've got some other key people that are going to be there for the business panel. On the opening day of the conference, people can come and attend that business panel and enjoy the rest of the conference and have the rest of the time to put things together and put the deals together and make things happen.
Exactly, and we encourage and hope that there will be lots of people to come and actively participate, ask questions, bring their thoughts, ideas, and experiences, so that we can really have a good, thoughtful discussion about where we've all been and where we can go.
Absolutely. Now, again, I want to remind the listeners that if they want to know more about the conference, it's the IEEE 2016 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies. It's going to be at the Westin Hotel. That's in Waltham, Massachusetts. We say Boston all the time because, but actually, it is actually in Waltham, which is a suburb there in the edge of Boston. Famous and historic international conference, and you can find out more information on that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen is a link to their website, and it will give you all the information about the people that are going to be speaking. Mark Borkowski, the Assistant Commissioner for the Office of Technology, Innovation, and Acquisition, is going to be there. So is Dave Masters, Border Security. Ann Cox, the last I heard, she's going to be there. And Richard Vorderbruggen with the FBI. And, of course, we know about Steve Smith. We spoke with him already. He was a guest in this program with the U.S. Small Business Administration and all the remarkable things that are going on with the SBA, which we hadn't known of until we talked to Steve. So now with the business panel that you have going, what have I failed to ask you? What do we need to cover?
I don't know that there's anything additional that we need to cover. I just think, as I started out at the beginning, I think that anybody who's got an interesting technology or potential technology solution that they think would be valuable in the Homeland Security marketplace, whether that's the Department of Homeland Security or in the wide market space that Homeland Security-related efforts take place, I'd say that when you're developing that technology, two things. Always make sure that you are keeping end users in mind and involving them early in the process to make sure that your technology does, in fact, integrate into the systems and processes that they're already using, and also to make sure that you're developing a business case for yourself to be able to sell the product in the ways that, that those technologies get acquired, both locally or on the federal level, and making sure that those business plans, you know, are thought through from the beginning. I think that, you know, sort of those two key elements for technology, for a technology to succeed, the business plan and the usability of that technology, really are key and important for everybody to remember in the back of their heads while they're involved in their great scientific and engineering endeavors.
All right, Andrea Marsh, as always, a riveting guest here on our program. We so love to have you with us. We love it every time you come back, and we hope that you'll continue to come back year to year and tell us about the things that are going on. Andrea Marsh is business development with Battelle. She's business development manager, I should say, with Battelle, and specializing in homeland security and cybersecurity and that sort of thing. So glad to have you with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate your giving me an opportunity to help promote this today.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. In just a minute, we've got a really, really fun interview with a father and daughter combination talking about prostitution. Yes. We found it really quite entertaining. As a matter of fact, the first part was so entertaining, we had trouble getting it away from being a social question to being a science question. We finally got around to that in the second half hour of the program. But you will find it interesting. They're speaking at the International Conference on Homeland Security, the IEEE conference coming up in May. And the subject of their talk is characterizing sex trafficking in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania. For law enforcement. And why Pennsylvania? Well, we're going to get into that. Pete Forster is the Associate Dean of the College of Information Sciences and Technology at Penn State, and his daughter, Andrea, is a student in the security and risk analysis part of the College of the of Information Sciences and Technology there also. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Well, today we have a special treat. We're going to go to the phone to Penn State University, and we're going to talk to a father-daughter combination who are going to be speaking at the International Conference on Homeland Security by IEEE going on in May, as you hear us talk about in this program a lot. And their study is characterizing sex trafficking in Pennsylvania for law enforcement. And we're so proud to have them both on the program. Welcome, Pete and Andrea.
Thank you.
Now, thank you. Characterizing sex trafficking in Pennsylvania for law enforcement, that is really pretty specific. First of all, characterizing sex trafficking, you're going to have to run that by me, because how do you characterize sex trafficking? And is this exclusive for Pennsylvania? I mean, can't the studies that you're coming up with apply not just in Pennsylvania?
Well, certainly. The issue of sex trafficking is, as you know, a global phenomena. But the way this project actually came about, and the project that we'll talk about as we go through the interview here, and we'll talk about in Boston, came to us because of our cooperation with the Pennsylvania State Police.
Okay.
And what the Pennsylvania State Police were looking for was how might we identify indicators and warnings, patterns and trends of sex trafficking within the state of Pennsylvania. That's why it's somewhat limited, although as you can imagine, it's not as if sex traffickers say we operate only in Pennsylvania. So by definition, we're beyond that, but what our state police are obviously most interested in is what's happening within their jurisdiction.
Well, the word trafficking means to traffic, and that would mean to pass through, or I realize some of it's going to be residential, too. It's going to stop in Pennsylvania, but to traffic means to move, and so I presume that is all sorts of different kinds of traffic. With I guess immigration, sex trafficking is the largest problem. Not domestic prostitution.
Well, actually, in the U.S., the biggest problem is domestic prostitution or sex trafficking. And we're in a very interesting spot here in Pennsylvania because we're known as both a transit and a destination state.
Oh.
So we have traffickers working both in the state and traveling through the state. There's a large corridor. I-80 goes through sort of the northern part of Pennsylvania. It's between New York City and the Ohio border. So we see a lot of... we see a lot of activity up in that area.
Okay, so then... Go ahead.
That's the transit side of it. And then, as you can imagine, there are sex traffickers who actually just come to Pennsylvania because, regretfully, there's a market.
Well, okay, so there's a market in Pennsylvania, but there's also a supply? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, sir. Of course, there is a supply, both a supply within Pennsylvania, but also supply from other areas.
Okay, so you have a domestic supply, and then you also have the immigrants that are coming in, or maybe just girls from other parts of the United States. And you say that there's quite a market. Now, am I to understand that market is largely in the larger cities? Like Philadelphia, or what are we talking here?
Well, yeah, our research, of course, as you would assume, there's a large percentage of the market is in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, even in the Harrisburg area. But one of the phenomena we've been looking at in this is what happens when you have new industry coming to a state. And in Pennsylvania, as you may or may not know, we've had a boom in what they call Marcellus Shale, natural gas and oil exploitation within Pennsylvania. And so what we've been looking at is what's the impact of that? Because what happens is you end up with workers coming into the region, this is not in the urban areas, this is in the rural areas. And once they come in, they tend to be followed by drugs, by prostitution, all of the things that follow these kinds of things. We've seen a lot of this in North Dakota, tends to be a state where we looked at this. And when we began to think about the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania, we said, let's see if we can identify the patterns around sex trafficking related to that. That's a rural part, but there is certainly an urban issue.
Yeah, okay, then we're talking about two different things here. If you've got a boomtown and you've got a lot of roughnecks and they're largely men and they're lonesome and they feel that they want to have some adventure, now that's a natural draw for sex trafficking. And I think that's probably been pretty well known down through history. I mean, we had it with the coal mines. We had it with any time that you drew a lot of men to an area roughnecking. The next thing that happened was houses of prostitution. So that's not a surprise. But then the ones in the problem in the cities is a different type of problem. That's the normal Johns that roam the streets looking to pick up a date. Is that right?
That's partly it. But the other thing we've noticed, and is not a surprise either, there are also a flow of trafficked people that will come in. So, for example, in Philadelphia this August, we will have the Democratic National Convention, right?
Okay.
And events like that bring in large numbers of sex workers are trafficked into the state. So there is that residual population, yes, the streetwalkers, but also then there's kind of a rise to demand for special events.
Oh.
People often think of the Super Bowl as one of those.
Yeah, but then I'm curious as to, you know, how you would put a stop to this sort of thing, because it's historically been going on, and this is a science program. So sometime or other, we're going to have to get off the social issue and get around to the science of it. And we're about out of time for this half hour, so we have to carry that question over to the next. So y'all stick around. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Sam Harris, even for extraordinarily lucky people, life is difficult. And when we look at what makes it so, we see that we are all prisoners of our thoughts.